Welcome to the Code of Entry podcast, where we cloud the issues with facts and help you upskill to stay on the digital edge. Here's your host, Greg, with the latest.
Hey, team, Greg here with another Code of Entry podcast, this time joined by someone that might look like me. Just to be clear, we didn't plan this, but I told him to wear a bright shirt and we both picked the same shirt. This might be an indicator that my wife shops for me, but that is what it is. All right, so today I'm joined by Lucas Bew, so my son, and I wanted to take a chance to talk a little bit about it on this podcast because this is a tech podcast. We talk about upskilling and knowing what the opportunities are, knowing what the state of the art is. I thought it would be instructive to do this session so that you know what school-age kids are being taught today, right? When I was growing up, it was like we took our first computer class in sixth grade, and it was like typing. And that was the only real computer class. I think we had to take it again in high school. Only computer class, typing. But things have changed a lot. And I think it's pretty impressive what they're doing today. So I think talking to Lucas, maybe it'll give you an idea if you have school-age kids for stuff that is potential that they could be doing in class, things you might want to get them involved in, things that you don't know about yet. So just a really cool opportunity. I'm super excited by the school that he's at, what we're doing, what he's doing, what he's choosing to do, and we'll talk about all that. First, we'll get to know Lucas just a little bit. So, Lucas, how old are you?
I'm 16.
No, you're not.
Oh, my gosh.
See, this is what you learn about your kids. He's telling people he's 16. How old are you, really?
I'm 15.
Yeah, see? Wanting to be 16. So, you're excited about being 16?
Oh, of course.
You want a stick shift, right?
Correct, I do.
Bad idea. Parents keep telling him, no, you don't want a stick. He's like, but I want a stick. So we'll see how that lands when we get there. Oh, man. I'm in for trouble. Sports at school, what do you do?
I do track and cross country.
Okay. What's your favorite event in track?
Probably the 800 meter.
Okay. 800, two laps. So what's your PR?
My personal record for the 800 meter is 2:17.
Okay. That's better than I could run it. So good job.
Thank you.
So Lucas, in school right now, you just were signing up for classes for next year.
Correct.
And he brings home this paper, and it's two different AP computer science classes. And the advice he got from his parents was to only take one and have a class to not have as much. He had like weightlifting as an alternative, right? Like, hey, go do that so you don't have all these hard classes. Have you made a decision what you want to do yet?
I have, and I am taking both AP classes.
Okay. Awesome. What are the names of these classes?
AP Computer Science, and then there's AP Computer Principles.
Okay. So he will have a lot more computer classes than I did going in. So he's taking these computer classes next year. What did you do this year?
This year I did just Intro to Hardware.
Okay. And what kind of stuff did you learn in Intro to Hardware?
So the first half of the year was really just learning like the wires and where to plug them into a computer to actually get it working and what each wire did. And you learned a little bit more about like the PC box itself. You also learned stuff about like monitors and like printers and how to like work with those. And then more towards the second half of the year, you learned more about virtual boxes like Linux and Ubuntu and like Windows 10 and Mac. You learned more stuff like that. Like currently we're learning malware and 3D printers, which I think is pretty sick.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. I'm not sure if all the kids in his class have this opportunity, but so Lucas in his room has a Windows PC that's his gaming PC he got for Christmas a couple of years ago. And he has a iMac that has virtual machines on it for, what are your virtual machines?
I have Kali Linux, I have Ubuntu and Debian.
Okay, that's all legit stuff. I remember a time that you came home and you're still doing it a little bit, but you're like, using the correct names for all the USBs and cables and stuff. And I'm like, I don't know. It's just a USB. He's actually, that's a USB, whatever. What are some of the examples? See, I'm like, whatever.
There's USB type A, which is like your standard USB. And then there's USB type C, which is like the ones you use for that work both directions that are like oval. Then you have USB type B that just comes in every single way to demand. If you have a calculator charger, it's like that.
Okay. Best project in hardware you've done?
This is the only project that actually wasn't on the computer, and it was building the PC itself, and that was probably the best project.
Okay, awesome. You got an intro to hardware, and then you started doing Cyber Patriots. Can you tell us first, before I ask you to tell us about Cyber Patriots? So it's a national program that the schools here do. It's a big deal. We're in Georgia, and we're co-located with U.S. Army Cyber Command. So Augusta has rebranded itself as the cyber capital of the world. And in conjunction with that, it's gone all in on supporting this Cyber Patriots thing. So can you tell me a little bit about Cyber Patriots?
So Cyber Patriots, you really just sign up one day, you show up, you get put on a team of anywhere from 5 to 4 people, and each person does their own section. Sometimes one person would share a section with another if you had too many people. You had Cisco packet tracing, you had 2 Windows 10 people, and then you had a Linux person. And you would just download this, like, we called it a file. It was really just a file. You download this file, and next thing you got this whole simulation that you pull up for the competition, and you have to complete your section, which is basically busy work somebody would want you to do for a company in a specific amount of time. And if you finish within that time, then you can possibly win or get placed in the competition.
Okay, so busy work can mean a lot of things. Define busy work. Can you give us an example?
Janice sent you an email and you have to go fix her computer on the second floor if you wanted to. Or send an email to Chuck, give Callie the permissions to a file, or just little stuff like that.
Okay, yeah. So talking to you, you've given me some examples over time of changing permissions on like websites you didn't have permissions for. Maybe finding planted flags, a little capture the flag thing, some Active Directory stuff. So it's been pretty impressive. I'll say the interesting thing about the students and has been doing some of these Cyber Patriot things last minute. So you said the team is normally 4 or 5 people. Do individuals also compete?
You can compete by yourself if you want to. You can do all 4 of them on your own. But usually it's not an individual competing. Most of the time you would have a team.
Okay. So have you competed as an individual?
I have competed as an individual a couple times, but I've only done it about once when it wasn't supposed to be like that.
Okay. Yeah. And the reason I've hammered down on that point is, again, if you're out there and you want to get your kids, or you're younger and you're listening to this and you want to get into Cyber Patriots, you don't necessarily have to have a team. And so it's designed in a way that you can participate and do your best. And if you only have one person, you can still put in a good effort and do it. And you have a good chance of placing, because Lucas has placed when he's been an individual. So that's pretty cool. Another question for you, and we didn't rehearse this before, so we'll see what the answer lies like. But in STEM, there's been a problem getting young women in general across the years interested in science and technology, increasing the diversity of the workforce. Do you have a lot of young ladies that are doing Cyber Patriots or the IT track at your school?
Honestly, no. There's 3 girls in my class. 2 of them are only in there just to fill in a spot in their schedule. And one of them's in there because she actually wants to do the work. And I know in the other period, which is the only other intro to hardware period, there's only, I believe, like 4 or 2 girls in that class.
Okay. Yeah. Still a demand out there for more diversity in IT and STEM. So this one girl that really wants to be there, is she good?
She's pretty good. Better than most other people in the class.
Okay, so that's in your class. How about in the program at school? Are there any young ladies particularly talented?
There's this one girl called Dagan, and she is probably the best in our school, if not the state. She's the first girl ever to get a specific certification for cyber. She is one of the top-ranked people for CyberStart America for the past, like, 3 years, which gets you thousands of dollars in scholarships. And she's one of the top Cyber Patriot people in the state. She's done it all. She doesn't just do one thing in Cyber Patriot. She does all of them at the same time. It's super impressive.
Awesome. Yeah. If anybody out there is handing out scholarships or is recruiting talent early, just let us know. So I asked you that not to put you on the spot, but more to hammer into the young ladies are also very good at this cyber thing, this IT thing. And I encourage young women to do this because it's a great career choice. The world has changed from when we were kids. Not that they couldn't do it, but it was a different time, right? Like a lot more emphasis on being a mother or a teacher or a nurse. And I don't think that's the case here. because there's a lot of successful young women that are participating in Cyber Patriots, even if they're not like in your class. Yeah. Diversity is great. And this is a great opportunity to increase the aperture of STEM in a low impact way, because the Cyber Patriots stuff doesn't necessarily have to be done at school either. I know you've done it a couple of times here, one like Friday night late and one time in a West Coast competition, like in the middle of the night. So it's amazing what these kids will do to learn. Can you tell me a little bit about these tracks at your school, like how it works? Because there's like the healthcare track, there's the IT track. Like, how exactly does it work? How did you pick?
So originally, people would, in middle school, before you went to high school, people would come to your school and they would show you like, hey, this is my course. I want you to take this course. And so there was the cyber table, which is the table I went to, of course, had to. And they would be like, oh, yeah, so you start with intro to hardware, then you go to interest to cybersecurity, then you go to cybersecurity. And then so you have to take those classes in sequential order in order to finish the track. And I went around to the other tables. It was the same for all of them. They all had pretty simple ways to follow the track, and they were all pretty base about it.
Okay, that's awesome. Has that helped you figure out what you want to do when you grow up?
I think a little bit. Originally, I wasn't really sure. I kind of just said cyber as like a whole field, but then it helped me narrow it down a little more because it showed me all the possible work I could do, because it just gave me so many examples throughout the videos and multiple stuff I've learned along the way. Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. You're a ninth grader. Even just being able to say cyber at ninth grade just blows my mind. And then now that we're sitting here at the house talking about Kali Linux and proxy chains and how different attacks work and how different defenses work, it just blows my mind. Yeah, keep doing that. Because I remember there was a time in middle school, it's, yeah, I'm going to be a surgeon. And then you know, changed your mind and you're like, I'm going to do computer stuff. And now you're like, yeah, I'm going to do cyber. And so it's just getting more specific. And I just think it sets you on a pretty good path, especially because you're getting to get hands-on and do things like, so I tried to get his sister to do computer stuff and I thought I had her, but then she started doing this healthcare track and she loved it, which is great because now she's going to go to college next year. She's probably going to go pre-med. All great things, but these opportunities for the kids today are awesome. I've led the discussion a lot. What haven't I asked you that's really interesting for you about computers, technology, stuff you're learning that you want to learn?
I feel like you haven't asked me about like where I've been learning everything and like what resources have been available to me to like grasp and learn.
Okay, answer that.
All right. So when we go into school, they have this program that's called Test Out, and that's where we would learn all of our stuff. It's like you study for this exam, and it's like you could go online and just buy a course, and it's like that. You just watch videos, you answer practice questions, and then at the end, you would get this certification that the school has already paid for. If you pass the test, you get it, and it can help you get a job in the future. And our cyber coach, Ibarro, he can suggest you to work at the cyber center or some other place that is super secret or something, because this guy has to come to our school and ask if this person's a threat to national security. And so there's just a lot of different ways to learn online. Like some colleges will post their courses online for you to look at. I just think that field has widened a lot.
Yeah. And on the line of some of the internships and stuff, you're just not old enough yet. But there are some summer programs here in Augusta, and I'm sure other places have them. But Augusta University, Army Cyber, he's talking about NSA Georgia. They all have internships that the kids can go in and learn about IT, learn about cyber, keep learning about malware. Some can get security clearances and work in, you know, in these facilities. It's just great exposure. I've been showing my West Point ring for a second. I've been trying to talk Lucas into going to West Point. I don't think he's interested. I'm going to continue to try. But there are avenues to do cyber, you know, definitely outside of the military. The interesting thing about the military or government service is maybe getting to do some of the offensive stuff that seems really cool, hacking and not getting arrested for it. But on the other side, there's a huge demand in the civilian world that pays really well for cybersecurity professionals. So there's a shortage. And an interesting thing, the NVIDIA president said last week, and this won't be published for a couple of weeks, but this podcast that is, but the NVIDIA president said that kids shouldn't learn to code. He's, yeah, kids shouldn't become computer programmers. And it's a lie. basically because anything that's text-based is going to be done by generative AI, a large language model. You're going to be able to get so much help to code that you don't necessarily have to learn to program. Now, I don't think he's saying you don't need to be a computer science major. You don't need to be a cyber person. But it is an interesting balance now as we shift. I still think there's going to be a high demand in cyber fields. I think you're going to see a lot of entry-level programming jobs go by the wayside. You're going to be able to get a much better efficiency out of the folks that you have instead of sitting here and Googling for an hour to answer that question on, okay, I got this error. What does it mean? You can put your code into ChatGPT or Gemini or any of the other models, Code Whisper, Amazon Q, Copilot, and you can get a suggestion back. It can be like, oh, we went through your code and we fixed this one. Here's a suggestion on how to fix the one thing you asked. And then you did three other things that aren't secure. Here's a better way. Great. And that takes seconds versus an hour of hunting and pecking and copying and pasting other people's code out there. It's interesting. I'm super grateful for the Cyber Patriots thing because you're getting to learn about the hardware, which an AI model is not going to be able to put the hardware together for you. You're getting to learn about some of the tradecraft stuff. And I think that's so dynamic and takes a little bit more human intuition that you're not going to be programmed out by the machines. Good pick, Luca.
Thank you.
All right. I talked about my experience and having to learn typing as a kid in school and having to do it for an entire semester. How did you learn to type?
I feel like just as tech has grown, I've learned to type naturally from when I was a kid, from pressing it on fingers to like just figuring out whatever works with like multiple fingers. And in Intro to Hardware, we had this one section too. It was called keyboarding. And it was the shortest section out of all of them. And we spent a day on it and that was it, because everybody could already do it. So I thought that was crazy when you said it, that you guys had a whole class dedicated to this idea that was so like simple and seems like basic knowledge to us currently.
Yeah, it's a generational thing where I'm almost a digital native. We had a home computer in my house growing up since I was probably like 10, but you couldn't do much on it. I remember there was this like command prompt program called QBasic way over my head. But there was like this gorillas thing where you could throw bananas at each other, kind of like pocket tanks, okay, where you could throw bananas at another gorilla and try to like, that was what I used computers for, mm-hmm, until the end of high school. And finally we were like typing up papers, but not really. Then we went to West Point where we all get our own computer. But to show you how rapidly this evolves. So that's in the year 2000, we get this desktop computer that we think's awesome and this big CRT monitor that's 100 pounds, probably not 100, but this huge like big box as our screen. The next year in the class of 2005 gets a flat screen monitor. Like our minds were blown. We're like, oh my God, their computer is so much better. It had nothing to do with the computer. It was the monitor. But then the class of 2006 got laptops. And so in the space of just 2 years, and this is 20 years ago, a little over 20 years ago. And just so y'all were born obviously after that, and you've only ever known smartphones, laptops, computers in every room because you're in this house.
Yeah.
So there's just, your entire experience in life has been high-speed internet, social media, cell phones, computers, and it's a lot different. I think there's a lot to be said about screen time with kids, but we miss opportunities like this, right? Where I'm talking to you about how you're using the screen time for good. And I think the assumption, as people age, it's always, oh, the next generation is going to be garbage. Oh, those millennials, whatever. It's, you know, that screen time can actually be used for a lot of good, because you'll sit in your room and you're watching YouTube videos on how to use Kali Linux better than I can. And the assumption from the outside, not really interacting with you, would be like, oh, he's just in there playing video games all the time. So not necessarily the case. There's a lot of powerful stuff online. And I think this next generation is a really strong foundation to fill a lot of the gaps that we currently have in a cybersecurity, IT, that skilled coding workforce. And I know I just said coding and the NVIDIA president said coding Stein, but you get where I'm going. Awesome. Any closing comments?
Just going to cyber. It's the best field.
Awesome. Selling the cyber. All right. Hey, thanks for listening. I hope this was informative, and like, share, comment, subscribe, and, at least give a thumbs up to Lucas. So thanks, Luke, for joining us.
And, thank you for having me.
Code of Entry family, keep hustling.
Thanks for listening. Find us on social media at Code of Entry and online at codeofentry.com. Check back for new episodes or join the team by signing up for notifications. Until next time, keep hustling.